Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Lance Mehta with you. The Giants obviously coming off a very disappointing loss to the Arizona Cardinals in their home opener yesterday at MetLife Stadium. We will be taking your calls at 201-939-4513 and monitoring Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And we'll be talking to you for the next 1 hour about New York Giants football. And Lance, we're going to focus on the game, obviously. But first, some breaking news. Again, none of this confirmed by the Giants. This is simply a media report from ProFootballTalk.com that Walter Thurman, in fact, has a torn pec and he may be lost for the year.
Yeah, he left yesterday's game, so this is obviously a major blow for the Giants' defense. John Beeson suffered a toe injury. They're not necessarily categorizing that as anything specific, but this is a defense that brought in a number of new playmakers this year. Everybody said this was going to be the entity of the team that was going to be the strength. Now, when you start to lose members of your depth chart, John, it comes back to haunt you, and this is a major blow. He was supposed to play the slot, take Antro role, keep him back in his safety valve. All of a sudden now you're going to have to start to move people around.
Yeah, you would think Tremaine McBride would be the guy that would slide in, be able to play that slot corner role. Obviously, Antro Roll has experience there too, but the Giants want to keep him at safety where he had his best year as a Giant last season.
Well, he could be a ball hawk in that position, and that's where you want him at. You want Stevie Brown to do wonders as well 2 years ago when he was an extremely opportunistic player. What has been the trend over the first two games? They're not an opportunistic group. Nobody's forcing turnovers at this point. The offense is giving up the ball. The defense is not getting it back. Field position is not changing. It's hard to win games when you're not doing either one of those.
No doubt about it, and it's hard to win games when you can't get teams off the field on third and long. And unfortunately, we'll start the defense because that's where the injuries were. It was another problem the Giants had in this game against the Arizona Cardinals, Lance. And you take a look at the play-by-play here, especially in that first half. Just go to that first drive. Third and 10. The Giants allow a 17-yard pass to Larry Fitzgerald on a slant. The next play, a 22-yard run to Andre Ellington. Later on in the drive, a third and 17 that gets converted because of a Jameel McClain unnecessary roughness. I know a lot of people say, well, McClain didn't hear the whistle. That's not a fair penalty. Well, everyone else on the play stopped. So clearly there was some indication that the play was over, and everyone but Jameel McClain knew it. So it was a problem, though, while the Giants didn't even give up 300 yards of total offense. I believe they had 266 Arizona. They could not get them off the field when they needed to, and they didn't cause any turnovers. And we talked about it last week. The team that was going to win this game, Lance, was the team that was going to win the turnover battle. And the Giants didn't even come close. They lost the turnover battle again.
They've lost a turnover battle consecutive games. Turnover differential, if it's not in the positive, you're not going to win football games. Tom Coughlin preaches ball security, and the Giants are not holding on to the football. Arizona was just 5 of 13 on third down. Now, if you look at the numbers on paper, you say, hey, that's not bad.
Not bad.
However, if you then start to look at the numbers, and you see, you allow a third and 10, you allow a third and 14, a third and 17, that's what tells the true story. On that first opening drive for the Arizona Cardinals, you have to get them off the field when they're facing those third and longs. You fail to do that, you're going to give them the momentum. You're going to give them an opportunity to build continuity. And think about the confidence it gives a backup quarterback like Drew Stanton. Has not thrown a regular season pass since 2010, entering yesterday's game. Think about how much confidence he gained from that first drive alone, simply by putting his playmakers in the spot to thrive and make plays in those third and longs.
And Tom Coughlin said it in his post-game press conference. Go to Giants.com, watch Tom Coughlin's remarks after the game, or just look at the transcript. He says it. The longer the third down is, the easier opponents seem to have converting. And that shouldn't be, but that's been the case so far. And Lance, you mentioned Drew Stanton, and all of a sudden, an hour and a half before game time, Carson Palmer, who was questionable all week, but people thought he was going to fight through the nerve issue in his shoulder, not going to play. Advantage Giants. Then again, the Giants have had issues playing backup quarterbacks, especially in their own building. That being said, macro, big picture-wise, and we'll touch on the offense and special teams in a second because they were probably more blamed for this loss than even the defense was. If you're playing your home opener, you already lost your first game of the year, and you're 0-1. You have a team coming west to east, which is often a struggle for these teams on the West Coast, starting their backup quarterback. They already have major injuries on the defensive line. You got to win that game. If you want to be a playoff team, that's a game you have to win. And I believe I saw the stat last week that teams that start 0-2 have an 11% chance of making
Carolina
the playoffs.
Carolina is the most recent team that pulled
so
that
certainly
off.
You're still in the mix, and you still have enough time to recover. Heck, last year the Giants started 0-6. If they beat the Cowboys in November, they still have a chance to make a legitimate playoff run. So certainly they're still in the mix here. No one's saying they're not, but that's a very tough pill to swallow, to lose your home opener, to a backup quarterback.
Well, and in fairness, you were referencing last season, the reason why they were still in it, nobody was running away with this division.
Right.
We have no idea how this division is going to play out.
Great
the
point.
Eagles play the Colts tonight. If the Eagles win, they're already two games up on the New York Giants. Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's still the wild card. Nobody's necessarily talking or speculating about playoffs, but you're right. You had a golden opportunity in front of you yesterday at MetLife Stadium. Backup quarterback, a quarterback that is rusty by definition because he hasn't been involved in a regular season pass. You have to take advantage of that, and the Giants did not.
All right, 201-939-4513. We'll get a couple of your calls up on the line. We'll get to them in just a second. But first on the offense, Lance, and I don't want to go through the whole game because we could be here till 12:30 talking about this, and we'll miss all your calls. But I want to go to a sequence here in quarter number three that really turned this game, in my opinion. Actually, I checked it. That was quarter number four, actually, that really turned this game. The Giants are up 14-13 at this point. They have the ball 3rd and 6 on their own 26-yard line. Eli Manning goes back to throw, has Victor Cruz open, makes a nice pass, hits Cruz in the hands. He drops the football. Ensuing Steve Weatherford punt. Now, is it as high as Tom Coughlin would have liked? I guess not. It's down the middle of the field, which he doesn't like. That's fine. But Weatherford did a good job fighting through the injury. Zach Bowman's right there. The punt's good enough for your gunner to be able to wrap him up and make a tackle. He misses the tackle, which happens. Ginn's a very good punt returner. Where's the rest of the special teams unit to come down to tackle Ted Ginn Jr.? He runs for a touchdown. Next kickoff, Quinton Demps fumbles, turns into another Cardinals field goal, and there goes all the momentum for the Giants.
It was one thing after another, and when you have special teams mishaps, that's a big no-no. Because remember, the goal coming into this season, let the defense and let the special teams take pressure off of your offense. Because there were question marks surrounding this offense, given that they were going to have to work out the kinks early this season. The offense made strides yesterday, in fairness, okay? They put up over 300 total yards.
No question.
You can't give it to the offense. But the problem is, when the defense and the special teams is not getting the job done, it's a lost cause, because where are you going to make up for some of the shortcomings on the offensive end? And the fact that it was one thing after another, this game completely blew out of proportion. It's a 14-13 game. Ted Ginn returns the punt for a touchdown. Then the Giants fumble the ball. You have a Victor Cruz drop. You have a Rashad Jennings fumble. We're talking about four plays right there that completely turn the outcome of this game all around.
And again, it's turnovers. And then you get to a play later on in the fourth quarter where Reuben Randall has a chance to make a big play on the sideline when the Giants are still in the game. He can't get his hands around the ball and hold on to it as Cromartie takes him down to the ground. Another drop pass. Cruz had another pass that went through his fingertips, and that would have been a very difficult catch, but it was still a catchable hitch in the hands. So the Giants simply, while there was a lot of progress, and I definitely want to touch on that, they still ran into the same type of situation they ran into last year, where there would be one big mistake here, one big mistake there, and it would erase all the other good work that they did over the course of the game.
If you look back at last season that you just referenced, I mean, you could put together a laundry list of games
turnovers.
Where it was a turnover late. For example, the Chicago Bears game on a Thursday night. Giants fight their way back. Eli Manning throws an interception. It was a high ball to Brandon Myers. That game is lost. Multiple examples. You don't want to continue the same script that you followed last year.
First game of the year where Manning continued to throw interceptions, the one on the screen pass to start the game to DeMarcus Ware. Then you had the one that went off of Darrell Scott and got picked by Brandon Carr late in that game. I mean, it happened time and time again.
The trend for this team in recent history, John, when one thing goes wrong, you know, some good teams can put a stop to it.
It's dominoes here.
Here, it's like one thing after another. I mean, that's been the most troubling aspect for this football team. Mistakes can be cleaned up, but the problem is one mistake leads to another. You're not winning football games.
You
like
can't
that.
Make that many mistakes or penalty issues. Two or three penalties gave them first downs. Now, before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513, I do want to mention a couple of the positives, and Lance mentioned it. Eli Manning, I thought, played one of his better games in a while. There is no pointing the finger at Eli Manning for this game. He played extremely well. Larry Donnell played well again, made some very difficult catches over the middle on the sideline with passes thrown behind him. The wide receivers.
Can I pat myself on the back, by the way, because I was saying that there was a tight end on this
Lance
team
loves himself
that would
Larry
be able to embrace
no
the
question.
Role. Everybody was calling for JaMychal Finley. Let's bring back guys from the dead. I said the tight ends on this team could get the job done. I'm going to at least pat myself on the back after 2 weeks.
And Larry Donnell has done a good job catching the football, no doubt about it. I thought the offensive line played better. Eli got sacked a couple times, but I thought for the most part the protection was pretty strong. So certainly some improvements, and you hope if the Giants can continue those improvements against a very good defensive team in the Texans next week, clean up some of the mistakes, they can get their first win of the year at MetLife Stadium. Let's get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, you're up first today. Good morning, bud.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lance, John, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Drew. What do you got for us today?
Brutal game yesterday, man.
Tough
well,
loss,
you know, I mean, I was, let me say this, okay? I think it's a good thing that you guys have the show delayed, a day delayed.
There would have been some angry people calling up yesterday, Drew. And trust me, we're going to have angry people today, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I was highly upset. I mean, I was just steaming. You know, now that I've calmed down and I've had the time to think about it, first and foremost, yeah, Eli played a good game, and this game is not lost on Eli. I mean, you know, and I'll say this again, and you know I'm a defender, but, you know, could that have been some better thrown balls in terms of, you know, a little bit more accuracy? Yeah, but this is football. No quarterback out there is thrown accurate 100% of the time.
Hey, Drew, look, 26 of 39, 277, two touchdowns, and that's including three or four drops. So if those balls are caught, all of a sudden you're looking at a 100 quarterback rating type of game for Eli.
Right, you know, that's my point. I want to say this. I want to say this to kind of stave off the naysayers. Okay, Cruz definitely should have had at least one. One of those balls was overthrown. I'll give that. But the first one, the one that led to the downfall, I'll call it that. The first pass that Cruz missed that led
to right
in
the hands. You got to catch it, Drew.
Exactly. You got to catch that ball. So my attitude for Cruz is shut up and play ball and catch the game, because I'm not necessarily going to assign blame to Cruz, but when he missed that ball, that's when the floodgates open. My other thing is, you saw an exercise. You have an exercise on film of lack of concentration. You know, that's really what it was, man. It was just lack of concentration. I mean, you know, how do you not tackle Ted Ginn up in there, okay? And then the very next play, you turn around and you fumble the ball again, and then you have another fumble after that. This was a game that the Giants, quite frankly, gave away. It was a very winnable game. This was a game they had. And yeah, it stung a lot. And then
well,
the other
Drew, despite all that went wrong, you're right. You hit it right on the nose. They're still in a position to win this football game. And normally, when you have this many things go wrong, it should be extremely lopsided. But the game was still close enough, and they just could not take advantage of those opportunities. They had multiple drives late in the game, but something always went wrong on that drive.
Hey, Rashad Jennings just falls down and drops the football. This isn't like you can't make this stuff up territory. This is a running back whose job is to carry the football. Look, Eli Manning did that against the Eagles a few years ago. It's a quarterback. He's not used to running. You get it. But it's Rashad Jennings' job to handle the ball. He just fell down and dropped the football. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
You're right. I mean, and that's it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, it was a combination of bad luck and concentration, but I think it was more so concentration, because, I mean, I could not believe how in the heck do you fumble that ball in that position. And then the last thing I want to say, man, is the defense, man. I mean, you know, this was supposed to be our vaunted defense. Now, granted, the defense has some good plays here and there, okay, and I have to say, here and there, you know, they did sack the quarterback, I think, four times.
They did.
It would have been five unless for a penalty. But, I mean, you know, there were just lapses there, man, where, like Tom Coughlin said, and he's right, the longer the distance for third down, the easier it becomes for the opposing quarterback. And we got to get that fixed, John. We got to get that fixed, man, because, you know, we're saying that we're relying on this defense, and it's the defense that's kind of hurting us in a funny kind of way. Now, yesterday,
be quick,
clearly,
Drew. You got to finish up for us.
I am finishing up.
Thank you.
Clearly, yesterday, special teams was what cost us this game, clearly. And that's it, man.
All right. Thank you, Drew. And the most frustrating part of it, Lance, and he mentioned the third and longs to end the call, those are the situations where you should be licking your chops for turnovers and get the picks and make those game-changing plays. Get those sacks. Get those strip fumbles. The Giants have given up first downs.
To me, the most disturbing third down was a 3rd and 14, and Andre Ellington runs for 15 yards. He runs for 15 yards.
That was,
it wasn't a short pass and catch. It was a run to the right edge, and he picks up a first down when he's facing a 3rd and 14.
5 minutes, 11 seconds to go in the first quarter. If they don't make that play, they punt, and that possession turned into a Cardinals field goal. And that would have been a one-possession game then at the end of the game.
Extremely troubling. You were talking, just real quickly to get back to the offense, Rashad Jennings falling down without contact. What is it when the Giants go up against the Cardinals? Remember 2011, Victor Cruz, and they didn't get that called back against
them. I forgot that was against the Cardinals. I remember
it was
Eli
in Arizona.
Did it against the Eagles, I think, twice, actually.
Yeah.
And I forgot, I think Cruz's play was against Arizona, but they caught a break in that game.
Correct.
And it was called down by
because
contact.
It could have very well been a fumble. Everybody's slipping and sliding against Arizona for some wild reason.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Alex in Georgia. Alex, you're up next here on Giants.com. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for taking our call. I enjoy your show very much.
Thanks for calling it, Alex. Appreciate it.
I have a question. I've been watching the game over the past several years, and the question I have is about kickoff returns, not punt returns, but kickoff returns. Has anybody done a statistical analysis of the amount of yards that a returner is going to make in selecting to run the ball from the end zone back out? Because I've been noticing there are so many things that can go wrong. I mean, if by just simply catching the ball, the Giants could get 20 yards without risking an injury, without risking a fumble, and the amount of yards that they seem to get by Quinton Demps running the ball out seems to be negligible.
Well, I don't think that anybody's ever done a study, or at least I haven't seen the statistics on kickoff return average when the ball is kicked into the end zone. I honestly haven't seen that number, Alex. I'll see if I can find it for you this week. I'll write it down. I have not seen that number. I get where you're coming from. But I'll throw a caveat in there. Quinton Demps has been, over the last 2 or 3 years, one of the best kickoff return guys in the National Football League. And with the way this offense has struggled, you want to give a guy like that the opportunity to make a play. Let him take it out of the end zone. Let him try to make something happen. He hasn't been a guy that's had fumbleitis in the past. He did have the one fumble in the preseason. But in terms of his career, he's done a pretty good job of holding on to the football. So I get you want to give him a chance to make a play there. He just can't make that type of mistake, Alex. You can't. And I think with the way the kickoffs are now, it goes out of the end zone so much. Whenever you're 5 or 6 yards deep, it's one of the few opportunities you actually have to make a play in the kickoff return game, which is why I think guys have more of a tendency to take it out when it's kicked into the end zone than maybe in the past.
And, Alex, if you recall, during the preseason, the Giants wanted more return opportunities, but as John mentioned, since it was going into the end zone or even outside of the end zone so much, the Giants couldn't even evaluate their own return people. So I think right now the Giants are hungry to give the offense a favorable field position. Sometimes, though, Alex, you bring up a great point. It's going to come back to haunt you. I don't think that was the reason, though, why Quinton Demps coughed up the football. I don't think
you
know that much and stretch it to say, hey, that was the reason why. It's all about ball security and being and knowing where you are on the football field.
I understand your point, fellas. My point is that there's this statistical probability involved in this.
Right.
So I'm saying if I know teams do this all the time. They have stats on everything. So my question basically is, and I'm not disputing what you're saying because I think you're making an excellent point, and normally I would say that would be fine. And kickers were hitting it into the end zone, I would say fantastic. If, you know, run it, have a great opportunity, no problem. But given the way the game is run today and the fact that, okay, you get a ball and 5 yards into the end zone, you have to be able to run that ball out of there in a very rapid time. I mean, these guys are coming down there. They're super fast. And look at all the things that can go wrong. You can get an illegal block in the back. You can get people injured, members of your own team injured. You can have a fumble. basically, it's just a question. I just wanted to know if someone, and I've noticed that when Quentin Demps runs the ball, sometimes he lands on the 15-yard line. Sometimes he lands on the 17-yard line.
Risk you take when you take it out of the end zone. I'd appreciate the phone call,
Alex.
You always take that risk. You're right. You're not automatically going to get it back to the 20-yard line if you choose to take it out of the end zone. If you put a knee down, you're going to get the touchback. If you don't, you could get it to 15, the 17. There's always that risk. And a lot of it depends on the kick, what Alex was just alluding to. And you talked about this earlier, John. If you go back to Steve Weatherford's punt, you know, one of the reasons why Ted Ginn was able to capitalize on that was because the trajectory of the kick was not very high. It was low. So what does that do? That doesn't give your defenders an opportunity to get back.
But he was there. Bowman had him in his arms. He just couldn't wrap him up. And then where was the rest of the team? I mean, Bowman slowed him down to the point where even if you don't have great hang time on the
kick,
he held him in there for 2.5 seconds. Why is Zach Diossi, the long snapper, the second guy down?
It was a comedy.
And by the way, the coach's tape wasn't up yet on NFL Game Rewind, which, by the way, go to Giants.com. You can purchase your season subscription for NFL Game Rewind.
See, beautiful segue here.
No problem.
Wonderful.
But the game film wasn't up there yet, so I only can watch the TV copy. And I tried to rewatch the TV replays and stuff of a lot of the big plays in the game. I still can't tell who the second gunner was on that. He was nowhere in the picture. I have no idea, besides Bowman, who the other gunner was in that punt, as he never showed up on the screen. I'll know when I look at the coach's tape later on today, but on the TV copy, he never even showed up.
Well, a lot of players were either out of position or they couldn't get in a position to bring the guy down. It was a combination of a number of factors as to why all of the things came back to haunt them.
Back to the phones. Charlie's up in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Chuckles? You must be in a good mood this morning. Charlie, you there, pal?
I am here.
You're not a man of very few words every morning.
I think Charlie had his phone on mute and he forgot to turn it off. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, no, I was actually listening to you on the. I didn't think I was going to be so quick. But anyway, hey, you know what? You know what would be really good? We can cut down on the games time-wise. We should just give our opponents don't need first and second down when they're on offense. All they need is third down. Just come out, say third and 10, and that's it.
Well, Charlie, you know what? I realize you're joking, but the one good sign of that is that the Giants' run defense, despite the fact to me that, you know, the numbers might not have been great, they gave 124 rushing yards, I thought the run defense was once again pretty good yesterday, to be honest with you.
Really?
I do.
Well, Beeson's out. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. What are we going to do?
Wait, hold on. Who says Beeson's going to be out for the rest of the year?
You'll see. He's got the same foot injury, man.
Mr. Optimist on the line.
It's a toe. It's a toe. It's not the foot.
It's the toe. Okay, we'll see. We'll see if he's going to be back.
Yes, and by the way, I'm sure the Giants will have some type of update on the Beeson injury at some point today. Stay tuned to Giants.com.
Right.
When we have it, we'll give it to you.
Charlie, let me say this, though. The fact that he is hurt again is troubling.
It's not
I'm not going to deny that. The guy has been plagued by injuries during the course of his career. We're not trying to make this lollipops and rainbows for you, okay?
Yeah,
he's got a track record. There is a concern.
And by the way, I got some tweets about this yesterday and early on today at hashtag Giants Chat. I don't know why we didn't see more of Spencer Paysinger and we saw Herzlick on the field ahead of him. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I'm sure Coach Coughlin will talk about that today, but I'm not sure why that was the case. We'll try to find out and get that for you for tomorrow's show.
And the other thing, I mean, we are just a bad football team. When you have all these things go wrong, drop passes, Cruz dropped a bunch, Randall dropped the critical one, having a guy like fall down and fumble the ball, and then, you know, then the defense that you know, sack the guy. I mean, we're playing a second-string quarterback who hasn't played in, like, what, 3 years or something. We've got a defensive line of Arizona who lost 3 linebackers, 2 starting, and a defensive lineman who is probably their best. We're playing like a mediocre team, seriously. And we're playing at home after getting embarrassed on a Monday night game, and we come out like crap.
Well, Charlie, you know what? The funny thing is, Charlie, what you just said, do you want to know who you sound like?
Who?
You sound like Tom Coughlin in his post-game press conference. That's exactly – no, I'm serious. That's exactly what he said. We're not playing good football right now. It's exactly what Coach said after the game. You're preaching to the choir here, my friend.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like we might be able to fix one or two of those things, but are we going to be able to fix all those things?
Well, you better.
Washington, you didn't even see him in this game. And, he had one pass, contested pass, that he should have caught. He didn't. But he doesn't play anymore. But we've got Cruz missing pass after pass. you know, a couple in Detroit, three here, Randall missing stuff, and they're playing. Dempsey fumbles a ball, you know, Wilson gets benched for fumbling balls. He comes out the next series, and I just don't get it. I don't get it. We're supposed to have better special teams. This is Jerry Reese at his best. And I don't blame Bowman for that. Just like you said, where were the other nine guys? Where were the other nine guys on that? He went right up the middle. He didn't go to the sideline. He went right up the middle.
Someone else has to be there to make a play. And by the way, Steve Weatherford did say last week, he goes, I should be able to do everything. Just don't make me chase anybody down. And lo and behold, what happened? He had to chase somebody down.
They put him in that position.
That's why I said nine guys.
Right,
I
got you.
Him.
I know.
You know, he shouldn't have been there anyway.
What else you got, Charlie?
You know, I don't know. Whatever I got, I don't know. All I'm saying is...
He's lost the words. Wow.
If we make Fitzpatrick look like a Pro Bowl quarterback, then we are... It's pretty pathetic. I'm so disappointed at our defense. I mean, our offense is silent, and no one can blame Eli. Eli played a great game.
He did.
I don't want to hear anybody bashing Eli again, because he... If you give him time, and our offensive line gave him enough time, and if you have receivers who can actually catch the ball, we can win a game. We can win a game. So it's up to our defense to start playing. And with you calling the plays, I don't know if we'll ever get there. I just don't know.
Thank you, Charlie.
I don't know.
All right, Charlie. Appreciate
the call. Hey, my 6-10 is looking really good right now.
Don't brag, Charlie. You shouldn't be happy about that. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Charlie's psyched that his pessimistic prediction, which is still on our wall, by the way,
yes,
is going to come true. But you know what, guys? Look, it's only 0-2. Let's not jump the gun here. The Giants, I know, ifs and buts were candies and nuts, every day would be Christmas. But if the Giants don't make those mistakes in the fourth quarter yesterday, they beat the Cardinals. They're 1-1.
Well, the other thing, though, and Charlie alluded to this, I understand Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback of the Texans. John, to be honest with you, I don't care about the personnel on the opposing team. If you continue to shoot yourself in the foot, it doesn't matter whether you're going up against the worst offensive line in America, the worst quarterback, stop shooting yourself in the foot.
I saw a great
They can't worry about the opposition and the personnel. For example, while you look up those numbers, Charlie was referencing the fact that Arizona had backup linebackers and so forth in the game. Arizona's got a pretty good depth chart. Let's not forget about that. Calais Campbell, who led the team in tackles yesterday, he's a regular. Sam Acho, who was brought in, he's gotten some key playing time during the course of his career. They had a number of injuries, but you know what? Their depth chart is strong enough to absorb those injuries. And this is the time of the season where you start to test the parameters of your depth chart, because guys like Beeson go down. Walter Thurman goes down. Other players need to step up. If they don't, you're right, it's a bad reflection of this depth chart.
I have two very good tweets here. One from our buddy Martin H. Johansson at Martin H. Joe. He tweeted this last night. Giants' toughest opponent on the schedule is the Giants. We need to stop beating ourselves. And that's the truth. Right now, it doesn't matter who the Giants are playing, Lance. You're 100% right. They got to stop making these mistakes. They have to. And then somebody else just put a nice tweet up there, too, which I thought was very good. This one from Elam Gray at hashtag Giants Chat. With 10-10 to play, the Giants led Arizona 14-13. They allowed 37 yards the rest of the game to the Cardinals' offense, and they lost by 11. What does that
tell
you?
Think about all the turnovers they had.
It just shows you the defense came with 37 yards, and the Cardinals scored 11 points. I mean, it's hard to win games that way. 201. 939-4513.
I was just going to add, John, the most telling stat, 15-0. That was what the Cardinals outscored the Giants in the fourth quarter. You don't put up any points in the final quarter.
And they weren't from extended drives. I mean, I can tell you right now how the Cardinals scored those points. It's very simple. Punt return for a touchdown. They gained 7 yards, kicked the field goal. And then on the final play after the Giants turnover, they kicked the field goal after the Giants turned it over and down to their own 16-yard line. So it's not like the Cardinals moved the ball here, folks. They didn't.
It was gifts off the turnovers.
201-939-4513. Rick from New Jersey is online, too. Rick, what's going on, pal? How you doing, my man?
Take my call.
Rick, no problem. What's going on, pal?
Just have a little bit of a problem with Eli's mechanics. I'm watching Cutler last night. The guy took a beating. He took a major beating, and the guy kept coming back. Eli is standing there in the pocket. I mean, he's got the offensive line was really giving him a pretty good amount of time to pass the ball.
I thought Eli was, honestly, though, Rick, I hear you, and at times Eli does have the tendency to throw off his back foot and make mistakes, but I think this is the wrong time to pick on him. I thought his mechanics and his accuracy were pretty darn good yesterday, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not really picking on him. I mean, he's not the only problem. But really, man, I was sitting behind the Cardinals bench, and I'm listening to the guys, and they're like, and it's like playing a high school team. The guy got us two Super Bowls, and everybody keeps going back to that point. It's not about two Super Bowls here. It's about being, you know, good every year. You don't not necessarily winning Super Bowls.
Right. No, you had to be more consistent. And look, there's no question Eli's been more up and down than you would have liked. But, Rick, here's the thing. If his receivers just give him a little bit of help yesterday.
Yeah, you're right.
A little bit of help. And, you know, even if those drops happen, okay, and Rashad Jennings doesn't just drop the ball after he falls down, Eli could have led him to a game-tying drive there if they get a two-point conversion after the score. So I think Eli did all he could yesterday. To me, this game had nothing to do with
Donald. Donald played a great game here.
He was good.
Here's a guy that is not getting I don't want to bring in money, but I'm going to. He's not getting paid the big contract, and he's making these awesome catches.
No, look, Larry Donnell's a guy you give the scouting department, you give the pro personnel department. I'm trying to remember if he came in as an undrafted free agent or if he came off another team's practice squad. I think he was an undrafted free agent. So, exactly. So, I think you got to give this college scouting department credit for finding him as an undrafted guy, and then give the coaching staff credit, whether it was Mike Pope last year or Kevin M. Gilbride this year, for bringing him along and turning him into a player that could at least be starting caliber from a receiving perspective, and I think he has shown he is good enough to do that.
Undrafted free agent, by the way, Grambling. In 2012.
Grambling, right?
Yeah.
I really just think that they could start working on Eli's mechanics just a little bit more. I think the passes will be there. You know, I'm not saying that it's unfixable, but I really do believe we should work on that a little bit more.
All right, Rick, appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. And it's funny, I ran into Kevin Burkhart. He called the game on Fox yesterday, and he was here talking to other coaches on Friday afternoon. And I ran into him while he was walking out of here. Me and Kevin used to work together at FAN. So we had a long chat, and he had a long chat with McAdoo. And he was telling me some of the things that Ben McAdoo was explaining to him about how his offense works. And I thought one of the real interesting things, you know how a big topic of conversation this summer was talking about the footwork and how Eli's footwork and everything goes off of the timing with the footwork. Basically how it works, and this is how it was explained to me as you would explain it to a layman, which all of us are. We're not, you know, professional football coaches. Eli basically on whatever it is, a 3, 5, or 7-step drop, on that third or fifth or seventh step when he gets back, he has an option. He can look to the one receiver, and if he's there, he throws it. If the receiver has his route mistimed and he's not in his break, or maybe he got held up at the line of scrimmage because he got chucked or whatever it is, he just goes automatically to his next option. There's no sitting there waiting for that first option to break open or break free. As soon as he gets to that third or fifth step, if that first option's not there, it's bam. Go to second option. So that's how I think it's a little bit different. In Kevin Gilbride's offense, maybe he waits in that first option for a couple of seconds before he moves on to option number two. So that's how it works with the footwork. It's basically three steps, bam. If he's there, you throw it. If he's not there, not open, or not in the right spot, you automatically go to the second guy. And that's why the footwork is so important to be on timing, because if Eli's footwork is bad, the receiver is where he's supposed to be, but Eli's not ready to throw it, or vice versa if the wide receiver isn't where he's supposed to be at the given time.
And that also falls on Danny Langsdorf, who they brought in as the new QB coach to try to get him on his right path and on with the right timing in terms of the footsteps.
And Ben McAdoo said he liked what he saw from Eli in game number one. Maybe the results weren't what they were supposed to be, but he thought fundamentally he made a lot of strides, and I think we saw those strides in terms of the numbers and the production in week number two.
Well, when Manning is given a pocket, he's a different quarterback, and that was well documented yesterday. The question is, how often is he going to get a pocket? Game number one wasn't given a pocket very often. Game number two, he was given a pocket. What is there to come in game number three against a very good pass rush that the Houston Texans are going to bring
and
to the table?
And the offensive line was better. J.D. Walton, again, had a couple mistakes. He let the one sack up the middle on that blitz. I thought Eli held the ball a little bit too long, but Walton was still at fault there. Walton also had a holding penalty at one point in the game. And then the
Justin
big sack
Pugh,
and fumble.
Personal foul.
By the way, that was a terrible call. That was, you know what, and you know me, I'm always one to say, you know, the referees are the referees, you got to deal with the calls. I didn't think it should have been a personal foul on anybody. The guy, he just pushed and shoved a little bit after the play.
There were
a
number of
ball.
Questionable calls. Yes, a DRC with the illegal contact, too, was another bad
one. In fairness, I believe the illegal contact was called both ways because the next play I was going to talk about, when Richburg got beat and Eli got sacked and stripped, I didn't think there was much of a penalty on the Cardinals in the secondary on that play. Now, if they would have called on the linebacker hooking Donnell, I thought I saw a penalty there, but I didn't see one on the corner on Victor Cruz. So I think they really called that strict yesterday with the illegal contact, but I thought it was consistent both ways.
Well, and this was something that we were expecting coming out of the preseason, so I don't think that's a major development or a major surprise.
No question. 201-939-4513, back to the phones. Line 1, Ryan's in New York City. Ryan, what's going on, pal? How are you, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, listen, I think obviously the offense was better yesterday if anyone looks at the first week.
No question.
Versus week two, it's, you know, I'm not as concerned with the offense. I think it's going to get better as the season goes along. But the one thing I am, as you were mentioning, John, you were mentioning earlier about how, you know, we started 0-6 last year. And then, you know, if we win a game against Dallas late in the season. But,
you're right.
You're going to run out of chances. You know, there's only so many games early on in the season that you have a chance to win.
No, Ryan, you're right, and I will let you finish. Sorry for interrupting, and I've said this multiple times last year. You have X number of games in the NFL each year that you play that can go either way. You can one play here, you win. One play there, you lose. And this, I think, game against the Cardinals would qualify as one of those games. And the more of those games that you lose, like you just said, you lose opportunities to put up those 9 or 10 wins that you need to win the division. And this is certainly a missed opportunity. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is the reason why teams always go 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7 is there's just a lack of talent across the board. So in my opinion, getting a guy whenever he does play, like Beckham, to come back in, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to win, you know, one or two games by himself for this team, but it definitely, you know, if you have him in a game like yesterday, I mean, it can make a huge difference.
Hey, Ryan, at the bottom line, one big play by a player at any given time can make the difference, positive or negative.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the offense as a whole will get better. That, you know, the game yesterday, watching it was maddening with the turnovers. But like I said, there's only so many times where you can say, oh, well, it was a crazy play or a crazy turnover. But it seems to happen quite a bit. So I just wanted to say that I like the offense where it's going, but you know, you got to win these games if you want to have a chance at the playoffs. So,
you're right. And look, again, I said at the start of the show, and the big picture thing here is home game, home opener against a West Coast team traveling east against a backup quarterback. You have to win these games if you want to make it into the playoffs. And I'm not saying that means they're not going to make it into the playoffs, but again, you hurt yourself down the road. And we said it last year at 0-6 that you allow yourself no margin for error when you lose games like this. And then if, you know, you have an injury or something happens late in the year or something weird happens, you lose a game you shouldn't lose, you look back to week 2 and you say, well, you know what? If we don't fumble the ball in that kickoff, if somebody tackles Ted Ginn, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah. And the Arizona Cardinals
Thanks
are saying the,
call, the
same
the
thing.
Appreciate
and appreciate that. Thanks so much for the phone call. The Cardinals are saying the same thing if they look back at last year. They were a 10-win team, and they missed the playoffs. So the ball bounces your way. Hey, you're smiling. The ball doesn't. It's going to come back to haunt you.
And the Lions, by the way, who were terrible in the turnover ratio last year. And if they get that fixed, they could be a playoff team this year. They were plus – think of it this way. Last year, the Lions had about – I think, were they 7-9, the Lions, last year?
Yeah.
Same record as the Giants. The Giants were about negative 80, negative 90 in terms of point differential. The Lions were plus 8. The only team that had a better plus-minus than the Lions last year were the Cardinals. Every other team that had a better plus-minus made the playoffs, except for Arizona. Plays here or there, man, well, and these little things can kill you.
Turnover differential usually determines your success rate when it comes to the National Football League. Another example is the Philadelphia Eagles from 2012. The Philadelphia Eagles from 2013. When Michael Vick was the quarterback, he could not hold on to the football. Nick Foles comes in, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That was the biggest difference in their two different seasons.
2 wins to 10.
Yeah.
That was an 8-win difference.
What's happened with the Giants? They have not been able to turn that turnover differential around. As a result, you have the same record or you're in that same vicinity season in and season out.
201-939-4513. We have a couple open lines if you want to get in before the show's over. Len in Maryland. Len, you're up next here on Giants.com. How are you, Len, if I could ask you say your name properly?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing okay, Len. I'm sure that was a long ride home from you from the Meadowlands yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, it was just a great day in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't couldn't think any place I would have rather been than been in that stadium.
Until the fourth quarter.
Until the fourth quarter, you know, and the ride home and, you know, the talk on the escalator going down. I mean, you know, everybody's pretty frustrated and disappointed.
Well, and out of curiosity, you were on the escalator with the fans in the stands and all that stuff. What's the general feeling here? Where are fans pointing their fingers? What are they thinking? What was the general reaction after that game?
Well, we blew another game. You know, I mean, I think that was the general feeling, a winnable game. 15 points in the fourth quarter, everybody kind of shaking their head. How the heck did that happen? And it, as you know, it happened quickly. Series of, I think, 8 seconds after the punt return touchdown, Demps fumbles. And so, things went downhill pretty quickly.
Yeah, Len, three plays, Len. You had the Cruz drop, get touchdown, Demps fumble. In three plays, 50-something minutes of football just went right down the drain.
Yeah. You know, it was, first of all, it was a beautiful day. The pregame was, wonderful. The halftime show, seeing the old-timers, including Tiki. Nice touch.
And by the way, I could tell the number of boos for Tiki are slowly getting smaller every time he shows up.
When he first showed
up, it was bad. Then it was okay. And there was, I would say, just a spattering, would be fair, on Sunday.
Yes, I agree. Of course, it was well-timed coming after LT. I think that helped.
It doesn't hurt.
That did help a little bit.
It doesn't hurt.
That part of it was great. Then I thought we had this ball game and disappointing, frustrating conference losses. You get out in December and you start looking at what your chances are, and you take conference losses into consideration, and it's not good.
Right.
A couple of things. One of the most frustrating things. I think offensively, I think we had a nice game yesterday. The running game has got to improve. The line just. The run blocking, this is two games in a row.
Well, and I'll say this, too. I saw Arizona put eight men in the box yesterday a lot. And that's why Cruz had all those catches in the second quarter and why the wide receivers have so many opportunities. They put a lot of eight men fronts up there and just said their corners, you know what, you got a man-on-man, you cover them. And I think that's one of the reasons the Giants passing game had so much success, to be honest with you.
Well, and that's been their game plan all season long, John. It's no secret with that 3-4 defense. They like to clog the box. They like to stack the box. And they tell Peterson, they tell Cromartie, you're going to man up on your respective receivers and you're going to take care of business.
The one thing that seemed to be a little disappointing to me yesterday in the passing game, I thought Eli played a terrific game. The interceptions, I mean, those things are going to happen. Even at the end, instead of taking a knee or handing the ball off, he's still throwing the ball down the field. And, foolishly, I stayed right till the end.
You got to stay to the end, Len. You have to stay to the end.
That's right. If you're going to drive that distance, you might as well stay to the end of the game and not cut it short. But on that particular play, Arizona wasn't sitting back. Arizona sent six guys after him. Now, that wasn't the reason for the interception, but, even then it's a very aggressive type of, defensive scheme and going after Eli if he goes back to pass. But my one criticism of the passing game, geez, how many times do we see receivers running together? So sometimes it's a completed pass, sometimes it's an incomplete pass, and you look around and there's two guys within, 6 yards of one another. I mean, that kind of thing's not supposed to happen. Somebody's running the wrong pattern in that case. But there were a lot of cases yesterday where, receivers, after the play is over, you look around and you say, what is Donnell standing next to Randall for? Sometimes they're too close. You got to spread the field a little bit. Did you guys notice that at all?
Honestly, Len, I did not. I go back and look at the game again over the next couple of days, I'll keep my eyes open for it. That's not something that I noticed, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And one other thing, some good points made, getting into statistics and so forth about kickoff returns. And just as, Charlie in Portland said, where were the other nine guys on the punt return? Demps, well, the kick returner, the kickoff returner, he has got 10 guys in front of him. I mean, you got to knock somebody down.
Yep.
I mean, we've got, if you look at that front line, and I watched it a couple of times yesterday, the front line right in front of Demps is Fells, Robinson, and Fells, Robinson, and help me. Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, and Hillis.
Peyton Hillis, okay, three guys in front. I don't think they did a very good job of getting people out of the way for Demps to return.
Well, I don't think anybody would say, Len, that the Giants' return game has been dynamic this year so far.
Yeah, but it's not all on the kick return.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, it's not all on the kick returner. Demps has got some history, pretty good kick returner. He's got fairly good straight line speed. You know, he's not a world beater, but you got to knock
good.
Some people down. You got to create a hole. He goes down easily, but hey, you know, it's a physical game. He goes down easily. I mean, when you get hit, you're going to go down. You know, the third down defense.
Finish up, Glenn. You got to finish up for us. All right.
Oh, okay. Just real quick.
Thank you.
You know, frustrated like everybody else on the third down defense. Third and long. Tom said it best. You know, we get into a third and long. We think we got the other team stymied, and they make first downs. I mean, we're at our worst in third and long. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. But
neither do I, Len, to be honest with you.
You know? Here we go. Houston's next. Let's win a game.
All right, Len. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay, buddy.
Appreciate it, bud. 201-939-4513. We'll try to squeeze in a couple more calls in the next 15 minutes before we say goodbye. Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, you're up next. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? It's good that you guys had Len on before me because he's a nice caller.
You like Len.
I'm not as nice as him because to rub salt in the wounds, you guys mentioned Tiki Barber. I was offended seeing him in the pregame, and we lost, so that just irritated me more. And a lot of the people, like I said, the NFL Network ran a documentary on the two.
Oh, please, Andrew, let's not start again with that. Come on, you're killing me with this going down memory lane. Let's move on already.
The comments that he made were back in whenever, 04, 2005.
Correct. It's a thing of the past.
But they interviewed him recently for this documentary. He slammed Coughlin all over again, slandered him, lied more, said Coughlin was responsible for the playoff loss, that they were outcoached. A lot of those guys got busted for steroids, too, on the Panthers' defense. So they weren't outcoached. Coughlin's possibly will be a Hall of Fame coach. He won two Super Bowls without Tiki.
At the same time, though, Tiki's also probably the best running back in Giants history, or one of the best running backs in Giants history. Andrew,
what do you got on yesterday's game?
Get to the game.
That was basically it. I want to petition that he's not at the events, but they were better on offense.
Still can't let it go.
And it was kind of a shock, like, too, the fumble at the end, because it was like, if they lost, you're right, they should win that game, but if they lost, like, by last-second field goal and it was back and forth, like, it was the ugliness of how they lost the fumble on the kickoff. So, but I was just irritated with Tiki, and the game got me even more irritated, but hopefully, you know, next week is almost a playoff-type game already in week three. Do you guys agree with that? It's almost to the point where it is a must-win game next week.
I'm not going to call it a must-win yet, Andrew. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. I'm not going to call it a must-win game yet, but...
Well, the percentages are not good, John.
It's hard.
Once you get to 0-2.
It's hard to start 0-3 and make the playoffs, man.
It's very difficult.
It's hard. And it's a home-to-the-home game.
Yeah,
against
the
team that had one of the top picks in the draft last year.
It's going to be a very tough task to knock off this Texans team because, to me, if I were to rank the defenses, Arizona better than Detroit, Houston, you can make an argument, is better than both of them. It's not going to be easy. And the offense needs help from the defense and special teams. Coming into the season, you needed those other two facets, John, to take pressure off of the offense. Those two facets are not doing that. So just think about how much more pressure is on the offense. And the offense itself has a number of issues because players can't catch the football. And as a unit, they can't protect the football. So there are issues across the board here. One facet needs to step up and make up for some of the other shortcomings. We're just not seeing that over these first two games.
And next week, and not to get ahead of ourselves, protect Eli Manning against J.J. Watt on that pass rush.
Yeah,
the wide receiver's got to make plays outside because the Texans will blitz.
Hey, keep this in mind. J.J. Watt, he caught a touchdown pass yesterday.
All right, relax.
They actually lined him up on offense. I'm just saying the creativity that they're showing
now. Relax.
I'm not saying it's going to happen next week, John, but they're ahead of the game a little.
And they got to stop throwing with Arian Foster.
Absolutely. Foster had nearly 100 yards on Bush
Harris. Shanahan has run the ball well in the Giants before with the scheme he had in Washington with Alfred Moore. So something to keep an eye on. Let's go to Joey in Las Vegas. Joey, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Joey. How are you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. Just wanted to call in and say that, look, it's only two losses. They're not hot right now. So what? It takes a minute. I'm not worried about nothing. There's 15 games left in the season.
Joey, the problem you have, though, is that they were a better team than Arizona yesterday, and you can actually argue that they played better than Arizona for 3.5 quarters. Then you had 3 bad plays in a row that basically ruined the game. So it's a game where you outplayed your opponent, but you still lost, and those are the ones that hurt you.
Oh, yeah, they beat themselves up, no doubt about it. But still, no reason to worry yet. Just relax. When week 7 comes around, we'll see them come out.
All right, that's all you got, Joe?
That's it, my man. Take care. Go Giants.
Appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. We'll try to take 1 or 2 more calls before you say goodbye. We have a couple coming in. We'll screen you, and we'll get you up here. You know, Lance, and it's funny. The one thing we didn't mention that I wanted to get to actually was on my list, but we haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, you make a list? I didn't realize that.
Mentally.
Nice.
It's not a physical list. I can. They have all sorts of things rumbling around.
Oh, I can only imagine what goes through your head.
Nobody wants to know what's going on. But the defensive line actually got some pressure on the quarterback. Though I think a lot of the sacks were of the coverage variety where Drew Stanton kind of held the ball for a while. And eventually they got to him and they got him down. JPP, I thought, was active early. Then we didn't hear from him much.
Got quiet as the game went along.
Again, the rest of the game, he was very first active the first couple of possessions. Robert Ayers played well again, 1.5 sacks in the game. Jonathan Hankins had a nice power rush for
game.
A sack, known as a run stopper. If he can start getting to the quarterback a little bit, that's good. Colin Jenkins made some plays. The sack that went to Kiwi and JPP, I think they split one sack.
Because JPP had a sack and a half.
But that was really more DeMontre Moore, who flushed Stanton rushing from the outside, and he flushed him into JPP and Kiwi. So I thought it was a step forward for the Giants defensive line in terms of getting after the quarterback.
And also I would say stopping the run. I know the numbers don't jump off the page. Ellington had a field day, but JPP was involved in a number of initial hits so that the rest of the defensive linemen could converge on him. So that's a big step in the right direction. I mean, against the run, they've been good. I wouldn't say they've been solid. I wouldn't say they've been excellent, but they've been good enough to set up third and longs, and then they get into these third and longs, and the defense just collapses for some
wild
reason.
9 minutes to go here. I want to try to squeeze in 2 more callers. Frank in Tampa is up first. Frank, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Good to talk with
you. How you doing, Frank?
Good, thanks. I've been quiet for a number of months.
Yeah, we haven't heard from you, Frank.
And I think the show's been better for that. But
don't sell yourself short, Frank. What do you got?
But with that in mind, just a quick macro look, if I may.
Sure.
A little micro thrown in, but a few things. I just find it kind of hilarious that this was going to be the year of the return. We had 6 guys to choose from.
It's funny.
Seems like
you're right.
We have none. Seems like we have none now. Hertzlick is a great story, but what in God's name is he doing on the field in that position? I mean, they just took advantage of him. The offensive coordinator must have been salivating as soon as he saw that.
Well, Frank, and here's the thing. The shame of it is that if Devon Kennard didn't hurt his hamstring in week 1, I'm guessing he probably would have been the guy that was in there for Hertzlick. So Hertzlick is really the third string guy. But, yeah, look, I think once he got on the field, I think you saw what happens when you downgrade from a Beeson to a guy like Hertzlick.
Right, and why wasn't McClain in there? I mean, it just made absolutely no sense.
Well, McClain wasn't there. He was playing outside.
Right, but he should have been on the inside, and they should have had Paysander out there. It made no sense. They had.
That's fair. I can't argue with that one, Frank.
They took advantage of him last week on the goal line as well. He wasn't anywhere near the plays when they scored. But first down, when you guys go back and look, will you please tell me how many times we ran the ball for 2 yards or less on first down? I can't believe it.
2 yards or less on first down. I will try to do that quickly right now.
The only time I can remember that we threw the ball was Cruz wide open and unfortunately dropped it, but every single play seemed like it was second and 9, second and 11, second and 8. The penalties, the games are getting unwatchable. I mean, it's just dreadful. But what was Williams doing in there on second and third and long after Jennings fumbled? I don't know if he was trying to punish him or what. He hits him out there in the flat, and the guy, we all know the guy can't.
Yeah, Frank, honestly, I agree. That was one thing I was surprised by, too. I didn't understand why they had Andre Williams in that 2-minute drill situation at the end of the game trying to catch passes. I didn't understand why he was in there either.
Well, and we saw there's a reason why Andre Williams is not that effective at catching passes. He didn't do a lot of that in college, and it hasn't translated, or I should say it has translated over to the pros. He hasn't become such a strong guy that they feel they could throw out there and he could catch the football and do some damage with. And we expected that because his numbers weren't jumping off the page out of college. He was not utilized in the Boston College offense that way. He's utilized as a power-strict rusher.
Exactly. That's why I'm steaming now, even thinking about it. It's a rookie coordinator's mistake, and it basically cost us the game. If they want to punish Jennings, number one, don't do it then. But secondly, you've got Hillis. For God's sake, even put Heinoski in, somebody that can catch the football. Mr. Mara opined at the end of last year, why did it take us 3 years to find out what we had with Jernigan? It didn't. It took 3 months. We have nothing. Nothing. He stinks. The Lance. It was
and Frank, by the way, just hold on 1 second before the numbers fly out of my head. I have 6 runs for 2 yards or less on first down over the course of the game. That was just me going through the play-by-play quickly. And I have about 4 runs of about 3 yards and about 2 or 3 runs for 5 or 6 yards. So that's kind of how the first down rushing broke down.
Right. Exactly. You can't play like that. You can't play second and third and 7 and 8. I mean, you just can't do it.
Right.
So predictable. It was more predictable than Gilbride's offense. I've never seen anything like it. We were taking bets watching the thing. But, you know, to say seeing strides, Eli's 33, Tom's 68. You know, we don't have time for on-the-job training. He's not a redshirt freshman. You know, we don't have time. If they lose next week, this season is basically over. I'm not understanding this entire way of looking at things. That's why.
Well, Frank, unfortunately, when you bring in a new offensive coordinator, and if you remember back when everyone wanted to, you know, can Kevin Gilbride, I tried to send the warning flares up. That when you put in a brand new offense, you never know how long it's going to take for it to click, for everybody to get used to it. And I think you're seeing some growing pains still.
I didn't want to count him for this, and Eli is the worst short passing quarterback that I've ever seen.
That's a little strong.
For a guy who's effective as he is otherwise. He just cannot, and even yesterday, chuck and duck, I can't tell you how many times he did it, even though he had a good game. But he cannot throw a short ball, and he can't throw unless he has an exact platform, which it needs to be perfect, that goes to protection, et cetera. But real quick, guys, do you guys know what the status of Beckham is? Because I have a story real quick I have to tell you. Do you know what's going on with him?
Well, my guess is that he'll try to do some individual this week. I think it's going to be tough to get him back on the field for this week's game just because of the lack of practice time. I mean, if he's healthy, maybe you see him on special teams. Let me put it this way. I would not expect Beckham to contribute as a wide receiver until that game against Atlanta on October 5th. That, to me, is the first time, because the extra practice time, he could be a wide receiver. Maybe he could do specials before then.
The reason I say that is I was supposed to be at the game yesterday. A buddy of mine's got a suite right near the Maras, but I couldn't make it. And so he's in the elevator. He decided he was going to leave a couple minutes early and then, I guess, decided to go back. But he gets in the elevator, and it's just him, the elevator operator, and a gentleman wearing Gucci slippers and a designer tracksuit.
It was Lance Beto.
No. And get this, crutches. And he looks at him, and he said, so my buddy says to him, what are you doing on crutches? And this gentleman looks at him, and I think thought maybe he was management coming from that area, and he said kind of meekly and pointed, hamstring. Well, it's Beckham on crutches. That's why I was wondering why.
Now, Frank, honestly, I don't know how that could be at all. Beckham on crutches. He's running routes in practice, you know, and trying to get loose. So I don't see why Beckham would be on crutches. I'm thinking that wasn't Beckham. Maybe it was somebody else.
The elevator operator confirmed it for him when he got off. He said that's Beckham.
Frank, all I know is that on Friday I saw him out there running and getting loose, and I don't see why he would be on crutches for a hamstring. So, you know, we'll see. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for the call. All right, guys, we got 2 minutes to go here. We have Dean on Connecticut on hold. Dean, you got 60 to 90 seconds to make your point. What do you got for us today?
All right, here we go. First of all, I tuned in late. Is Thurman really done for the season with the
Giants? You know, I'm happy you brought that up. The Giants have not confirmed anything. That's simply a report that's out there. We'll have more later in the day, and we'll see what the Giants say about the injury.
Oh, man. That's going to really be not too great there.
It's not
and
good.
Secondly, I wanted to know, if Beeson is out for a significant amount of time, what do you think the linebacker court would look like? Would Kennard play middle? McClain move over to middle, Kennard strong side?
I think you'd see, if Kennard's healthy, you'd see McClain, Kennard, and Jaquan. If Kennard's not healthy, you'll see McClain, Paysinger, and Jaquan. That would be my guess. You could do Herzlick, McClain, Jaquan, but to me, if I was making decisions, that would be my last option.
All right, no Herzlick. And I just want to end like this. We have a new offensive coordinator. We started off 0-2. 2007, we had a new defensive coordinator. Started off 0-2, and we won the Super Bowl.
Good point.
I have some faith, Giants fans.
Hey, Dean, that's a great point, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And actually, Ben McAdoo brought that up when he talked to the media last week, how when the Packers played the Giants early in the season in 2007 and then in the playoffs later, how much the defense had changed from week two when they gave up 45 points to the Packers to when they played and won the NFC Championship game. So that is something to keep in mind here.
Well, and I've referenced the San Diego Chargers last season, too. Got off to a very slow start. The offense clicked late. I think the offense had somewhat of a turnaround from game one to game two. But with that being said, if the mistakes continue, it doesn't matter whether they have the ability to move the ball consistently. If you have these mental breakdowns, it's not going to add up to many victories. You have to clean up your act. That will then translate to victories.
Or physical mistakes, drop passes, not protecting the offensive line, you name it. Stay tuned to Giants.com throughout the rest of the day. We'll have news from the locker room around 2 o'clock. Tom Coughlin will address the media as well. We'll probably get some type of injury update on John Beeson and on Walter Thurman, see what's going on with those two guys. So stay tuned to Giants.com. We'll have all the information for you as it breaks this afternoon. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmuck. You can check out Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow afternoon, coming your way at noon on Giants.com. We take more of your calls as we start to look ahead to the Houston Texans and continue to review the Giants' loss to the Arizona Cardinals. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.